You're listening to Free Indeed Radio, the podcast from Free Indeed Ministries.
Today on Free Indeed Radio.
So, there is no need to serve ourselves because Jesus is serving us. There is no need for us to serve our own master, you know, because they're deaf and dumb idols that have no voice or ears and no power.
And now, here are your hosts, Brandon and John.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Free Indeed Radio. I'm Brandon.
And I'm John.
And today we're going to talk about serving two masters.
Yeah, Brandon, today let's talk about Matthew 6:24, where Jesus talks about how we cannot serve two masters, that if we try to, that we will end up loving one and hating the other, or hating one and loving the other. So I think that's a great topic because I think people really get stuck in what that means. Who is a master? What is taking that position? And how do we keep ourselves free of that? And how do we serve God and always keep Him as the one that we love?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we want to make sure that people understand what it talks about hate, what that really means, that we can see that not in our, you know, everyday sense of what hate is, but how to hate something godly, which means to want to put it aside to where it does not have power in our lives or over our lives.
Right, to be indifferent to it.
Yeah. So let's start.
Okay.
So that verse is typically done because the last sentence in there, it talks about you cannot serve God and money. And I was praying about that, of course, and presented it at Free Indeed last night as us being able to put ourselves in that position, that we can be the master and we can actually end up trying to love, we end up self-righteously loving ourselves and then putting God aside, letting Him be the indifferent party in this whole mess.
The entire passage from 19 or Matthew 6:22 to 24 is, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Nobody can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And of course, other gospels say you cannot serve God and mammon, you know, the right. I think it's the ancient Egyptian god of opulence and currency.
Right.
Prosperity, or not prosperity, but yeah.
Serving things, you know.
Well, yeah, you can't serve, what was it we said? You can't serve God and serve yourself being your own master.
Right, because it puts you in a place of self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we put anything in God's position, the number one position, everything else falls apart. You know, when God becomes number two or just set aside or 1A, it's just not going to go well.
Well, right. And even in Genesis, when Adam took and ate the fruit, Adam and Eve took ate the fruit, the deception was, you know, God is holding something back from you. He's not really out for your best interests. You know, did God really say this? You better take your fate into your own hands and just see. You know, at that point, they became God unto themselves.
True.
They became their own masters. They became their own, you know, their own spiritual compass, so to speak, you know, their own conscience. And, you know, serving, I love the dichotomy of serving two masters because it really speaks to how we as people tend to operate, just period. And like we were saying, realistically, that slot can be filled by anything. You cannot serve God and blank.
Right. And I think too, Brandon, when we get to that point, if we look at it from the perspective of God and blank, then we begin to understand that the thing that we're trying to serve is a way to escape God. It's an opportunity or it's something where we're trying to blind ourselves to where we can convince ourselves that God doesn't see us for what we are, for whatever reason, for shame, for guilt, that we felt this way, that we think that we've done too much. And that's not a good place to be, obviously, because you've lost track of the grace of Jesus, you know, what he came and did, what the cross is for. And people will do all kinds of things to hide from God, to get away from him, and to think that he can't see them, whether it's hiding in sex or drugs, alcohol, work, family, mm-hmm. you know, trying to maintain some bizarre absorbed sense of life. Mm-hmm. But as long as you don't have to look at God, as long as he can't see me because my eyes are closed and I'm covered in my own self-righteousness, then somehow you're going to be okay. And that's where the splitting of the brain comes in, where you can't hardly function because you have to be one way over on the right and another way on the left, and you cannot function. The brain is not meant for that. Mm. It's meant to be whole. You know, there's two hemispheres that are brought together by a center, and that's where God is. He's in the center, and yet he encompasses all things like the skull. To hold it all together, to be a one person functioning in there, which is God functioning through us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of that stems from a false belief. Like, back to the example in Genesis, you know, it all started with Satan planting a seed of a false belief. You know, God's really not going to take care of you. God is holding something back from you. So you need to seek out and find out what he's holding back from you. And, you know, false beliefs like that, God is not really that faithful. Right. God really doesn't care. You know, God is a failure. So I need to serve myself because God isn't. Or I need to hide because God's a bully.
Yeah.
You know, and Satan's bag of tricks isn't that big. There's a handful of lies that consumes the world. And they're really not that complicated. They are so simple. And they all get us to serve ourselves. They all get us to serve the things that we desire instead of serving God and believing who he is. Like, for me, and for a lot of people in the world, it's, I'm not good enough. So I need to, you know, work out to look better. Or I need to read more scripture because my knowledge of scripture is inadequate and, you know, I need to be better, or, you know, something like that, instead of resting in the reality of God has got me covered. He has covered my inadequacies, and he doesn't see me as inadequate. He sees me as whole and complete. Those are the two lies, that's the dichotomy.
Right.
And for other people, it's, you know, I'm worthless. You know, not being good enough and being worthless are two different things.
I agree.
Like, people who deal with poverty for a lot of their lives believe that because they've been living that way, they're not worth anything because society doesn't give them any kind of a sway, or, you know, they're...
Doesn't esteem them.
It doesn't esteem them, yeah. And so what do? They start... If I'm going to have any self-worth, I need to seek opulence. I need to be more wealthy, because if I'm not, then I'm not worth anything. And that's where Satan gets them to serve mammon. That's where Satan gets us to serve our lack. He tries to get us to fulfill our lack that we still perceive in ourselves, instead of resting in the reality, again, of Jesus is our provision, Jesus is our wholeness, Jesus is our worth, Jesus is our completeness.
Mm-hmm. And his work on the cross was complete.
Yeah,
it was. Is finished, right?
Mm-hmm.
And going along with what you're saying, too, when we do put other things in God's place, we're trying to, like you said, to bring that value. And we don't have any self-value, because self is exactly what God is trying to keep us from getting involved with, staying away from pride, and thinking that your value, like you said, is a dollar sign.
Mm-hmm.
And it also goes to the fact that Satan is very, very subtle. And the Bible does talk about him going around and roaring like a lion. And, of course, that's very fearful. But he's also very, very subtle, because
Psalms, yeah.
Yeah, in Psalms it talks about that. And he comes in and he uses everything that was created, because he cannot create, and he turns it around like love. Mm-hmm. And he'll say, well, if God really wanted you to love, he would allow you to love like this. He would allow you to go, and you should be able to do anything you want with your love, because it's yours to give. So why can't you just give it away the way you want to?
Mm-hmm.
And it begins to twist, and in the mind it twists. And then, Brandon, what I think we see all the time is when people aren't allowed to ask those questions, whether or not that's true, how does that work, what is the reality for me when it comes to these subtleties in life. It's not a lie. Right up front is never presented as that, but right. The subtlety of it, you have to question it, because we must question these things, and you have to ask the Lord, well, tell me about what love is. Tell me about how I'm supposed to feel. Is there a moral level that you really have for me that is different than what I think? Because I really want to express myself the way I want to, and I don't understand why you don't agree. So we meet these people who don't ask that question or allow the question to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have problems in society, because now people want to fight over that, because they didn't get to express themselves. Nobody helped them with the answer. Now we have a battle. And that's what I love about how God has brought us with this message. There is definitely in between. And God has mm-hmm. given us a clear and loving and perfect answer for how to not serve two masters.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that answer, that obviously the answer is grace.
Right.
And, you know, it's, the answer is Jesus. And all, like, if we really understood the depth of what he did for us on the cross, taking all of the sin of the world into his body, like the perfect illustration for me in my head to grasp that is like, you know, imagine an orbital view of the world, but you're seeing it through spiritual eyes, so you can see this dark, nasty purple cloud that's surrounding the earth, and swirling around. And in it, it's comprised of your lower back pain. Every time that you told a lie, and, you know, every consequence, every aspect of sin and all of its effect in your life is swirling around in this cloud for all 7 billion people now, and countless millions before us, and the millions that will be after us. And all their sin was just rising from them like this nasty pollution, this haze. But at that point in time, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was walking to the cross, through these wounds, these breaks in his skin, this haze was just like just being absorbed from all over the globe into his body and like changing and morphing his body into something that was just, you know, on the way there, every step he's taking in more until he got to the cross and the world was clean. But as he hung there, his body had been changed into something else. Mm-hmm. It was no longer human. You know, like
right. It says that,
like yeah. He wasn't recognizable as a person because he'd been so disconfigured. So you know, this nasty thing was hanging on the cross. God himself used his body to absorb the curse of sin, and then God crushed it. He poured out all of his judgment. Like, if you picture God's wrath on our sin as fire, all that fire poured out on Jesus until there was no fire left. Mm-hmm. God, that the sacrifice was so perfect and so complete that it could take all of God's wrath on Jesus off of you. And then in rising, you know, after he died, the victory was absolute and perfect and complete. And so when we see that these aspects of sin no longer hold us, you know, like it says in Hebrews 10, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more.
Yeah, amen for that, right?
You know, God took everything in your life that is not of him, your lack of finance, he took your lack of health, he took all of that in that cloud on himself, out of the future, out of the past, out of the future, out of space and time, into his body, and replaced it with his perfect life that he lived. So there is no need to serve ourselves because Jesus is serving us. There is no need for us to serve our own master, you know, because they're deaf and dumb idols that have no voice or ears and no power. You know, the more that we try and serve ourselves and try and complete our own lack, or, you know, when our love of serving ourselves comes to an end and we finally realize that we can't, of our own strength and our own, you know, the sweat of our brow and the strength of our back and,
right,
you know, whatever, that amounts to nothing, then Jesus can step in and say, okay, rest from your work, quit serving yourself, and let me serve you. Let me be your master.
And that takes us into where he says, well, hate. You know, when we talk about hate, it's an emotional thing for human beings to hate each other and, you know, be angry and all of those kinds of things. And we don't really know how to use that. And certainly we don't get it in a godly way. And in this case, I see it as God wanting us to make him absolute and to set aside anything that would come to get in the way of your relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to put yourself aside. And I guess you could use the term hate, but not for hating yourself like despising, but for saying, I want to serve you, God. I want to bow all the way down before you, not halfway, because I don't want to have a love for myself that sets me in a place of my own righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we end right back up in that squirrel's wheel of pride and emotion and all these things that just don't need to be there, that don't have to corrupt your thinking. And of course, they can't corrupt God because his love is perfect. He's not going to go away or be afraid of you, but it will cause us to be afraid of ourselves. Right. And again, then you have that brain split and you don't know what to do. And in your example, I think people forget or don't even know sometimes what is sin. Is this that I'm thinking a sin? Is it because I think this that I am this sin that you speak of? Mm-hmm. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and through, you know, the Word, knowing people who understand a little bit more, talking about it, you can really get through those questions. And that's what I love about what we do. We want you to ask us the question. We want to answer directly the question that you have and show you where it stands with God so that you can stand in favor with God, not serving anything else, even by mistake, because you just, you never knew anything else, but now you found out the truth. Hey, how wonderful is that? Mm. But let's not be afraid to ask the question. We're certainly not afraid to answer the question. Mm-hmm. And God's not afraid to show you the answer to the question. As far as when you get the right answer, he's going to lead you in his answer. Because it's his answer. It's not us. It's him answering.
Right.
And he wants to lead you there and show you what life is with the right answer. So then you decide, will I let this go? Again, how far will you bow before God? Will you set aside that thing that you've served and allow God to come in and do something more significant for you than you could have ever imagined or hoped?
Well, and even sometimes we can't even really lay it down on our own strength.
Right.
Because we can't lay it down on our own strength because, you know, it's so easy to just pick it back up.
Yeah.
You know, and that active submission is literally a daily thing. Like, with me personally and what I deal with, you know, it's God, through you and just through our family of faith, showed me that all it takes is to say no. But not to say no in your own strength, but to say no in my strength. And, you know, something that I had been wanting to lay down for years, but felt, well, I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to lay this down. I've been doing this all my life. You know, I don't know. I know that I don't want it. I know that I, you know, don't need it, but I still keep serving it. You know, maybe not really so much serving it, but moreover, just I still keep bowing down to it a little bit.
Sure.
And, well, I guess that would be serving it. But
certainly going back to what's comfortable.
Right. And all it took was God saying, just say no. But say no in my strength, not yours.
Amen.
You know, because the lie that held me for so long is, okay, Lord, temptation is on me, and so take it. Help me through. But what I was missing was my action.
Right.
You know, I thought that God would just take over, you know, run my body like a little puppet and you know, fix everything. But it took action on my part to say no. But, Lord, this temptation is on me. But I choose to serve you and not serve this by the power of Jesus. Not by my power, but by your power. And that's really what's made the difference in my life so far. I mean, this is just something that I've learned like last week. week and a half ago.
And to be fair to you and to those who were listening, it was a path that you were put on. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
He said, okay, I'm going to show you how to say no to yourself in my strength, and here's where you're going to go. And would you say that you've had any failures since then?
Well, yeah.
Okay. And I think that's important to know, because too often we want to perform so much for God, mm-hmm. that we want to show him that whatever he says, I'm going to do it right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do that. We can't always do that. We're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. That's why he died. That's why grace is always covering us. His blood mm-hmm. is always washing us. Like you read, our sins I will remember no more. There's a reason for that, because he died for your future sins. There is enough grace to hold you close to him while you're in the process of getting through that which God is growing you in.
Yeah, and that really, I learned that that's where grace, really is.
Mm, yeah.
Like, it had been covering me this whole point, you know, God's forgiveness and God's grace and his overwhelming undeserved favor was on me. And I didn't know how I could walk in victory over temptation and sin. You know, not without being under grace, but, you know, without feeling like a failure, I guess, you know?
Sure.
And God really showed me personally that through, you know, this would be God saying this to me, through my strength, you have this victory. You always have it. And my grace is most powerful where you are weak. You know, just like scripture says, you know, my God's power is made perfect in our weakness.
Right.
But it was so much more sweeter to have it just be, oh man, I screwed up this once, you know, after a stint of, you know, living outside of falling to that sin. But when I fell to it, it was so good knowing that this is what God's grace is for. You know, I really felt like I was in that pocket, you know, of, you know what, I screwed up, but I'm still moving forward by God's grace and God's strength. And, you know, he led me this far, and he's not going to let me down. And there's still more ahead, so I have no reason to sit here and wallow.
Absolutely. You're always within him. He's always there. You're in that protected space. And like you said, when you fall after you've been doing really well, we recognize that you're not doing well on your own. It's because God is healing you and growing you. And then, okay, the stumble comes. But like you said, that's where grace absolutely fills in. It's always there. It's so complete that there is never not enough of it. And we have to remember that even if you fall, and then, like we've talked about before, an hour later you do the same thing, that just means that you're still in the process of learning God's forgiveness for you and how to walk through the things in your life that you need God to help you with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. This is not about you feeling like you're not worth God, that you're not worthy of him, that he hates you, or any of that stuff. If you accept this message of grace and you really begin to see it and feel it and know it from the inside out, what Jesus really did on the cross, you can go through anything. Brandon, you and I talk about all the time about some of the deepest, darkest trails that we've both been on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we are today saying, by the grace of God, literally and completely, we are here. And if not for the grace message, that everything that Jesus did was so that we could live in absolute, beautiful relationship with Him and the Father through the Holy Spirit guiding us all the way home. You know, that's where life is. This is where life happens. So it's okay to have your falls. It's okay to have your questions. It's okay to reach for God and to put in front of Him exactly what you need, mm-hmm. whether it's a sexual addiction or sin, I should say, if it's drugs, alcohol, if it's being a busybody, you're an adulterer, whatever it is, you can take that to God. He's not going to flinch, and He's going to say, my grace is perfect and complete, mm-hmm. and there's plenty of it for you. And that, again, goes back to our topic when we started, not serving two masters. Because when you lay those issues before God, in His strength, He picks them up. Even if you're hanging on, you know, like if it's a rope, you hand God one end, and He says, let go, and you keep holding on, and He starts pulling. Well, you start coming up off the ground. Well, mm-hmm. God's not trying to lift you up so He can shake you off, and then you splat. He's trying to say, I got this, but I want you to feel the tug until you're comfortable letting go, because I've got this. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be hung by this anymore. I've got this. And Jesus hung so that we could get this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Jesus hung to make us righteous so that we didn't have to strive to be righteous.
Amen.
One of my favorite verses that, is directly, this is it, is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Like, if you are in Christ, then you are the righteousness of God. Your righteousness is His righteousness, and He is righteous in making the sinner righteous.
That's right.
So there's no need to serve a different master while you're a slave to righteousness, like Romans puts it.
And what a beautiful way to put it. Mm-hmm. Again, one of those kind of godly terms, if you will, that we can get very twisted in our own minds.
Mm-hmm.
But what a joy to bow all the way down before God and let that grace wash over you and cover you so that that issue, that sin, that concern mm-hmm. doesn't have to bang on you anymore. And even if a little bit leaks through, there's plenty of grace to cover whatever it is you've done, because Jesus loves you that much.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. So thank you for listening, and we hope that you'll be back with us again soon. So why don't you go out and change somebody else's mind about God?
Thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. Send us your prayer requests, comments, and suggestions to freeindeedco@gmail.com. We would love to hear how the Lord has touched your life and rejoice with you. Don't forget to sign up to follow us by email on the website and get our app from the Google Play Store. Free Indeed is listener-supported, and we invite you to come check out how you can support us through our website at www.freeindeedco.com. Free Indeed Ministries believes that your tithes belong to your local church, and we receive your donations as offerings to support the mission of Free Indeed to advance the gospel of grace throughout the world. The Lord bless you as you go into your world and change someone else's mind about God.